tonight. Why don't you give him a hand clap of welcome? It's always interesting and exciting to me to make new friends in the kingdom of God. I'm always glad to meet apostolic people. Stood in a house last night up in Northeast Tennessee and preached in that house and had never met those people, but my, felt a wonderful presence of God in that house. Sweet, sweet presence of God. And you could recognize it with your eyes closed. It doesn't matter where you go on the face of the earth, it's always the same. That wonderful abiding presence of God. I want Brother Black to come tonight. We're so glad to have him. I appreciate all of our missionaries and the wonderful work that they're doing. I want him to come and just deliver his heart to this house tonight. Brother Black.
Praise the Lord, everybody. It's good to be apostolic. Pentecostal. Jesus' name baptized. Be full of the Holy Ghost. Amen, amen. God bless you. May be seated. The Lord has been so kind to us. In this particular moment, it's good to be here. He's been good to me to be able to enable me to pass by in spite of the weather and in spite of the cancellation of the service. It's just a privilege to be here with you tonight. I'm looking out over this congregation. I detect there are a few people here that are interested in getting more of the Lord than you have presently. There's a lot more that already look like and act like they're filled up. I want to ask you, do you have any room for more? Praise God. Because the Lord, you cannot exhaust his virtues and his characteristics, his blessings, his abilities. Amen. And the Lord is really interested in doing a great work here. Anywhere there's somebody that loves him, he's interested in doing a great work right where they are. Amen. Let me share a few things about our field and then we'll go to the Word of God. Appreciate Brother Sutton so much for making room for us. We have been involved in missionary work now for almost 19 years. It's hard to believe it's been that long, but it has, and God has been kind, filling many people with the Holy Ghost. When we first started out, we went to the Bahamas. A lot of folks teased and joked and carried on about that. But we have four churches there now, fellowship of over 500 people. Shortly thereafter, we moved to Puerto Rico to help in the Bible school there and as well as help some of the brethren. We are working currently with almost 30 licensed ministers there now and 23 churches. Of course, it's an old established work. We just thank God for him giving us an opportunity to be a little part of that. Our newest work that we have that's going pretty strong is a church in Curacao. Curacao's down by Venezuela. And that church has gone through several rough periods of time. But here recently, in the last 6 months, the church has topped 300 in attendance. And revival is ongoing. We have a tremendous pastor there now by the name of Juan Mercier, originally from Haiti, and then received the Holy Ghost in St. Martin, and then the Lord granted him an opportunity to pastor the work there. Is that rain? Oh, almost sounds like where we're from. This past conference we had in October, we had over 400 and something in services with us. But one of the things that was very interesting, I don't know how many people prayed through, but I do know of one group that did. I have tried to reach just about every type of denomination or religious group that the Lord has enabled us to become acquainted with, but I've never made any success or had any success with the Seventh-day Adventist. And if you're here tonight and you're Seventh-day Adventist, we're coming after you. But a pastor and his wife of the Seventh-day Adventist Church in Curacao and 10 members of his church were all baptized in Jesus' name. And the pastor and his wife and another member of his church received the gift of the Holy Ghost. So now we have a work in the northern part of the island there. The Lord has been so good to all of our brethren that are laboring together in the Caribbean. We're involved with, as one of seven area coordinators, so I have 8 other countries I have to visit every now and again. And of course, on top of that, I have a wife and 3 children. Thank God they're all in the church. Unfortunately, they're not here with me, but they are in church tonight at home, back in our home church in Porter, Texas. Our oldest boy is in the Air Force, air traffic controller in Dover, Delaware, he and his wife. And when I finish up here in Alabama, I'm going to meet my wife in Philadelphia. I'm going to drive to Philadelphia, and then we'll have Thanksgiving together with them. Everybody's going to go up to where it's terribly cold just so we can be with Joshua and Jessica, our son and daughter-in-law. And man, all these expectant mothers here. It was quite humorous to look at some of this up here. I remember what I didn't really pay attention, I guess, to. Well, I can't say it like that. I did pay a whole lot of attention to my wife when she was expecting, but I don't remember her looking like that. It must have been a long time ago. Amen. And I got to be with the Smiths last night. Reggie and his wife. I heard all about everybody. And then they said that her sister, I don't recall her name, but I think she was up here tonight, right? Because you could see the similarity. Is there 3 of them? Was one of them playing the keyboard? Amazing. Some strong genes in this family. They get all their looks from their dad, right? Where's sister? Okay, you're back there by the expected mother. And then last night, late, they got an alarming stir, and it was a test of the emergency broadcasting or delivery system. Amen. God bless all these expectant mothers. Sunday school is growing. Brought a lot of memories back. I was with my wife each time that she delivered one of our children. And it's hard to believe I'm 50 years old now, man. Dear me, where has time gone? But we might have, if I have good health, I might have 25 more years to do something for the Lord. And I hope I can do something before he comes back. And I want to be ready when he comes back. I want to be right where he wants me to be whenever he returns, wherever that might be. And I want you to pray with us. One last thing before we go to the scripture, that's in the island of Aruba. How many has ever been to Aruba? Anybody here been to Aruba? Anybody here been out of Alabama? Okay. I know your pastor was in Tennessee. But Brother Reggie Smith last night told me that they'd gone off into a cruise or something like that. Is that correct? And, but Aruba is down there beside Curacao. We've got 12 people down there that's been baptized, but there's no organized church. And after I get through a deputation, my wife and I are going to go there and live for a while until we can get a church established, if we live. So we're hoping and praying that that can be done speedily. Amen. And I want you to pray with me that the Lord will not only open a work there, but we need a work in Bermuda. We have no church in Bermuda. Amen. Some of these are exotic places for vacation, but there are people born and raised on these islands that need a tabernacle of truth there. And I'm glad I'm a part of the United Pentecostal Church, the most aggressive oneness movement on the face of the earth at this time, to evangelize the world. And as much as we have strength and health, we're going to do what we can. Thank God for the revelation of His Word, the understanding that He has given us of His Word. And help us, O Lord, to be able to communicate effectively this gospel to everyone He gives us an opportunity to speak to. Amen. Let's stand and let's pray for these places that I've mentioned. Aruba, those 12 folks that are there. Pray for this new pastor and his. Strange, it's 12 people there as well. And then the island of Bermuda. We also have the Bahamas, the Caymans, Jamaica, and Puerto Rico. Let's go to the Lord together on the behalf of these souls that need God throughout these regions. Lord, we ask You in Jesus' name that You would bless this community with a tremendous lighthouse that would draw many souls to this place. Pray, God, that the anointing of the Holy Ghost continue to be an ever-growing and powerful unction that would just flow from this place, exude from every saint of God in this building. We need to reach the lost like never before, Lord. Help us not to be ashamed to lift up Your name, not only in the house of God, but also on the streets, in every corner, in every opportunity that arises. Help us, oh God, to do our part in this vast kingdom of God. Amen, amen. In Jesus' name. Everybody say in Jesus' name. As you remain standing, I know y'all wore out from running and carrying on like you've been doing, but that's all right. Allow me the privilege of wearing you out a little more. Look into the book of 1 Peter. I've been away so long, I have forgotten about the background music. And it's different. I guess I've been 6 years away from it. No, you can do whatever you want. It's just I'm not used to it. And I feel like somebody needs to go over there and turn the radio off or something. I'm just picking with you. But I'm serious. We don't have all of the, can we say, condiments? The accessories. And I have never been this surrounded by monitors in all my life. Somebody has a difficult hearing problem. I have been in churches where preachers scream, a little more monitor, and everybody on the platform sticking toilet paper in their ears except him. Amen. And I'm not saying him. Whoever. Cualquiera. Vamos a ver en el libro de Pedro, primer Pedro, 1 Peter chapter 1, capítulo 1, versículo 10. Everybody with me? Está conmigo. All right. I want all you parents to listen to me. You need to get your children to learn Spanish. If you want them to grow up and have the best jobs, you better let them learn Spanish. Amen. Well, that was just a little PDA there. I think that's what they call it. PSA. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 through 12. Everybody say amen. I have it. I'm reading from the New King James Version. If that's a problem with you, talk to me after service and I'll explain why. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. And then the second chapter of the book of Acts, familiar portion of scripture, most of you probably have this memorized, verse 1 through 4. Now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house, the whole house where they were sitting. Interesting, isn't it? They were sitting. Then there appeared to them cloven tongues, I believe the King James says, divided tongues like as a fire set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. Now, I just want to kind of go through this line by line, if you don't mind, and talk to you about what I feel like the Lord would have us to learn here tonight. And many of you already know what I'm about to say or what I'm going to be teaching or preaching about, but there could be somebody in this place that has come here for the time of your life. We only have just a little time. And in the next hour or less, you may be given an opportunity that may not come your way ever again. Amen. And I want to take advantage, at least give God an opportunity every chance I get to speak to me and to touch me, to move me, to change me, to give me direction, to help me be what I need to be in these last days. Because God's looking for people to use in a greater dimension than just to skip around the aisle. Amen. There is a tremendous need that's outside these buildings. And it's demanding upon us. It's a mandate that God has given us to be equipped to meet that challenge. Amen. You are a part of a tremendous kingdom. You may consider yourself insignificant, friend. God knew what he was doing when he called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He does not make a mistake. We're the ones who make the mistakes. Let's ask the Lord to help us tonight. Lord, we ask you in Jesus' name, help us, oh God. Help us to be edified by the power of your word and give us the unction of your spirit, Lord, to perform it, we pray. In the lovely name of Jesus, loose our minds and our hearts to absorb the depth of your word here tonight. We ask you these favors in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. There's no other name higher or greater than that. When you say the name of Jesus, everything has to move out of the way. Well, praise God, everybody. Amen. You may be seated. Lord bless you for giving me the opportunity to be here again. Thank you for your patience. Now, I like the way the verse says, this salvation. King James says, of which salvation? Of course, a little play on words, but I like the way the New King James says it. The reason I usually use the New King James is because I used to usually have two or three interpreters I have to preach through when I'm in Curacao or Puerto Rico. I can usually teach or preach in Spanish, but it makes it easier for my translators to understand the English version of the scriptures. But nevertheless, the Bible says that these prophets, now these prophets were not just haphazard men that decided they were going to devise a religion. These were holy men of God. These were men who separated themselves from the affairs of this life and gave themselves completely to the mind and will of God. They sought the face of God. And if you're ever going to receive anything from God, you have got to set your mind to seek the things of God. Nobody just accidentally happens upon this salvation. Amen. Not in the depth that God desires you to know it. Now, there are a lot of people that get a tingling up their back and get a good feeling, and they feel a little relief for a little while. But, friend, God wants a deep experience to take place in every one of our lives that will cause us to turn our backs on this world and look forward to doing something for God before He comes back. I want the Lord to change me from the very depths of my being. Not just a little rattling of a speaking in tongues, but I want it to be a life-changing experience. To where all things indeed are truly passed away, and all things indeed are truly brand new. Hallelujah. I want to be that new creature in Christ that He has destined us to be. Amen. I don't want to follow after the former affairs of my life. I want to have that image, that inner man, renewed to the image of Christ Jesus. I want it to be exactly what He destined it to be. From the time of my conception and my birth, the Lord had a plan for every one of us in this place. If He did it for me, He's going to do it for everybody in this building. You got a place in the kingdom of God that nobody else can fill. And these prophets sought to know that place. The Bible says they inquired and searched carefully. They wanted to understand several things that I believe is common among all humanity. That is, they wanted to know how or what God was going to do and when He was going to do it. Amen. The Bible says, as you could read it there, that they later on understood that it was not to them that they were receiving these inspiration or this revelation, but it was for a future generation that was somewhere off. Maybe they didn't understand exactly how far off. But obviously, perhaps, maybe it was during the time as they approached the end of their life, they began to realize, obviously, we're not going to receive what they were receiving from the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Now, just bear with me. I'm going to take a while, so you might as well have a seat, unless you just enjoy standing. Now, these gentlemen did not give up just because they did not receive what they were looking for or receiving from God within the next week or so. But they gave their lives to fully comprehend what God was wanting to do. The Bible says these all died in faith, having not received the promises. But it goes on and says, but God, having provided some better thing for us, that without us they would not be made perfect. Now you see, you may think that you came into a religious experience that just happened within whatever time frame you received the Holy Ghost. But this thing stretches back for thousands of years. You're a part of something that God is doing that's going not only started thousands of years, but could possibly go on into the future thousands more years. But we all have a place to fill, and we all have something to do. Praise God. And if it goes undone, sure, God will find somebody else to do what you may have not been able to do or allowed yourself to do or got to the place where you believed you could do what God wanted you to do. But God's will is going to be done perfectly. Amen. I just want to be a part of the will of God. I want to bring my life to the place where it aligns with the will of God. Because every one of us in this building do not do what God wants us to do naturally. It does not come naturally to serve God. We have to do something supernaturally against our nature. In the book of 1 Corinthians, we find out, I think it's in chapter 2, that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. Amen. If I say anything tonight, I want you to hear this one thing. I have got to stay full of the Holy Ghost. If I'm ever going to know the will of God, if I'm ever going to have the ability to perform the will of God, I have got to stay full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, these men gave themselves to know this, yet they did not receive it. But God, it was all part of His plan. They were able to write or speak things, and a scribe wrote things about what God was going to be doing in the future. And scattered throughout the Word of God, as it were, there are clues about what the Lord was going to do. But the interesting thing that I see here is that there was always this interest to know how God was going to do it and when God was going to do it. That has plagued us for a long time, even to this day. We have too many people that are in the kingdom of God that are preoccupied to try to figure out things that God has no intention for you to ever understand. Amen. Amen. Praise God. When Jesus asked all of these men, I believe it was Paul who said there was above 500 brethren, they met him out on that hillside prior to his ascension. Remember that? And the Lord told them, he rehearsed some things with them, and then he told them to go back to Jerusalem and tarry there until they be endued with power from on high, that they would receive the Holy Ghost not many days hence. They came to him and they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus said something that really got me to thinking not long ago when he said, it is not for you to know the times nor the seasons which the Father hath in his power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What that's telling me is I don't have to know how God's going to do it. I don't have to know when God's going to do it, but I sure have to be where he wants me to be when he does it. And the only way I can be where God wants me to be is to stay full of the Holy Ghost. The remaining part of that 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says that a spiritual man discerns all things, but yet he himself is discerned of no man. Most of us can identify with that. When we're full of the Holy Ghost, we can discern things that otherwise, prior to the Holy Ghost, we could not discern. Number one, we could not understand the Word of God. I don't know how many of you tried this, but before I received the Holy Ghost, I tried to read the Word of God, and it was just a bunch of gobbledygook. But after the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it came alive to me. It was almost as though I was walking with them as they were experiencing those things. My understanding was opened. I began to understand the parables and the spiritual significance of the things that Jesus said and the apostles wrote to the churches about. But prior to the Holy Ghost, couldn't make heads or tails of it. Amen. Praise God. I'm telling you, folks, if we're going to be used of God in these last days the way God wants to use us, we've got to get back to the place where we're full of the Holy Ghost. We got too many people in our churches that have received the Holy Ghost, but they're no longer full of the Holy Ghost. We got too many preachers that have received the Holy Ghost, but they're still not full of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you that through the power of the Holy Ghost, we can do exactly what God has called us to do. But we can't do it with our ingenuity or our intellect or our education or our talents. None of those things matter if you don't have the power of the Holy Ghost to give you the unction and the anointing to do what God wants you to do. Are you with me? Amen. Now, when you receive the Holy Ghost, the way the Bible says,
It changes you. It changes everything about you. Now, when I received the Holy Ghost, I came to a church, country church, a little town I didn't even know existed, called Porter. I was raised on the southwest side of Houston in a little community called Westbury. I drove 52 miles one way to get to this church that was in revival. And when I got there, I saw people behaving a lot like most of you were behaving here tonight. Right. Running and walking and jumping. And I don't think anybody was doing handstand or hand flips or whatever I saw that elder fella doing a while ago. God bless you, brother. I'll tell you what, if I did that, I would be in the hospital a week at least. And I used to do it when I was younger, but I ain't about to even give it a try. I might trip and fall. That's about as far as I'll go. What were you, some kind of gymnast one time or another? Well, whatever. You got more guts than I got. But when I came into that assembly, I sat in the back, and that's no reflection on you folks that are back there. I mean, that's sometimes you just come to church, and that's where you like to sit. But I sat there on purpose. Yes, because I thought they were all a bunch of nuts. I didn't want them looking at me. I didn't want them touching me. And I certainly didn't want any of them praying for me. I didn't want any of that hocus pocus dominocus on me. I sat there in that service. That preacher was screaming and hollering and carrying on. I didn't understand a word he was saying. He was carrying on, red blood, spitting and slobbering, as they say. And I don't know why. I guess I was just wasn't really interested in listening that close. But when that service was about to wind down, something started squeezing my heart. And I began to feel ashamed of myself. I came to service like that 2.5 weeks. And every time they gave an altar call, I'd stand up like everybody else and hold the back of that pew like I was about to fall off, you know, and into hell itself. I didn't want to let go of it. But finally, I got sick and tired of the war that was going on inside this head. There was a voice on one side saying, you ought to pray. And another voice on the other side saying, nah, it isn't all that necessary right now. And I literally thought I was losing my mind because I'd never heard those kind of voices before. But literally, I mean, I was going through a raging warfare. Finally, I got fed up with it. And I walked out from behind that pew and made my way down to an altar. I did not want to kneel piously. I wanted to hide myself underneath it. I was so ashamed of the way I had been living. And believe it or not, in 77, the sinners back then are no comparison to the sinners of 2006. I know we're all sinners, but man, what they're doing today, I don't know if I'd ever come out of that. But I tell you what, I do know that where sin doth abound, grace much more abounds. I'm glad that God is still reaching. God is still talking. God is still moving. God is still drawing by His Spirit those who are hungry and thirsty for what is right. Hallelujah. I did everything those people told me to do in that service. Raised my hands until they felt like they were 1,000 pounds on each side. I said hallelujah, and believe me, I said it fast, I said it slow. I said, I love you, Jesus, fast and slow, but you know, it's not how fast you say it, and it's not how slow you say it. It's really meaning it when you say it. Not just parroting what somebody else is telling you. They told me I needed to be baptized in Jesus' name. I said, okay. They took me back and baptized me. And many of them said, before you come up out of that water, I want you to believe this. You're going to come up out of that water speaking in other tongues. I came up out of the water. My hands were raised up. Nothing happened. 2.5 weeks of this. But I made up my mind. I may not understand how you're going to do this, Lord.
And I may not understand when you're going to do it. But friend, I'm going to be here when it happens. And that night, I went into that little prayer room adjacent to that baptistry where they had me zipped up in an old little jumpsuit thing, goofy looking thing. And I was dripping wet. And I raised my hands and I said, Lord, I don't know what else to do. And a thought came through my mind. It said, all your sins have been washed away. And with that, I began to thank him for it. And it was suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the place where I was. And I began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave me the utterance. That same Holy Ghost experience is available to everybody in this building. Even though you received it 10 years, 15 years, 30 years ago, God is still wanting you to be as full as you were on the first time. In fact, Paul tells us, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. What he's simply saying is, whatever you did to get it, that's what you need to do to keep it. Praise God. Now, those people on the day of Pentecost, they had no idea what to expect. Nor does any other sinner or anybody else seeking God. You think you might have to get up and jump around and carry on? These people were sitting down. Acts chapter 1, evidently they were wore out. 10 days they had been seeking the Lord. 380 had decided they couldn't figure out how God was going or when God was going to do it, so they probably went on home. But about 120 said, I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know when he's going to do it, but I'm going to stay where he told me to be until he does do it. Amen. And on the day of Pentecost, those people were wore out seeking God, but they were sitting there when all of a sudden there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. But I tell you what, they didn't stay seated. But they got excited about what God was doing. Filled with the Holy Ghost, let me tell you something. Being full of the Holy Ghost is what we all have to be. You know why? Because that's when God gives us inspiration. That's when God gives us dreams. That's when God gives us vision. Amen. As Isaiah told us, as Jude told us, Joel told us, Joel says it in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your young men and your daughters, they're going to, what? Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. That means inspired speech, inspired to say something. Your old men are going to dream dreams, and your young men are going to see visions. I have never had a greater dream or a greater vision and more inspiration than I did when I was first filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? You see, we wonder, when is God ever going to talk to us? I'll tell you how he's going to talk to us. Isaiah said, with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. I'm telling you what we need to do. We don't need any more plans. We don't need any more gimmicks. We don't need anything else. We got everything we need when we're full of the Holy Ghost. When we're full of the Holy Ghost, our pastor can teach us. When we're full of the Holy Ghost, we got boldness to testify and to worship God like we never worshiped God, and to reach out to people in the streets out there. I remember when I came to that church, I didn't want any of them looking at me. I didn't want any of them touching me. I didn't want any of them praying for me. But when I came out of that room that night from receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, it was the same church, same people, but it was totally different. It was as though I came out of a dark room into a bright light. It was a group of people that I'd never seen before. And you know what I did? I ran and I started hugging necks. It didn't matter if they was a woman or a man. I was hugging necks everywhere, thanking them for giving me the opportunity to hear this message, thanking them for giving me the opportunity to pray, thanking them for praying for me, thanking them for not giving up on me. Let me tell you, the Holy Ghost can change you instantly in a moment's time. It can happen just like it did on the day of Pentecost. Suddenly you can receive the Holy Ghost in this place. Suddenly you can be refilled, amen, and come out of that lukewarm state into the hot coals a revival. Hallelujah. Somebody says a revival's coming. Revival's in every Holy Ghost filled person in this place. Amen. Just like Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift that's in you. What God gave you through the power of the Holy Ghost, there is nothing greater. There's nothing more marvelous. There's nothing more powerful. The unction of the Holy Ghost is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And only then, when you're full of the Holy Ghost, can you believe that God is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we could ask or think. Amen. I remember when I was full of the Holy Ghost, first thing I wanted to do is go tell somebody. I was inspired to talk about it. I was inspired to sing about it. I was inspired to worship God. I had a dream about coming back to the house of God, excited about what God was going to do. I had visions of reaching my family members, reaching the people I work for. I'm not talking about some mystical thing. I'm talking about when you're full of the Holy Ghost. It doesn't come from an evangelist. It comes when you go back to the place where you first prayed through. I believe our organization is getting fragmented simply because there's too many people not full of the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost is what brought us all together in the first place. There's not that many people that were all born in the same place, born in the same circumstances, raised the same way. We come from every corner of this world in different circumstances. But what unites us is the oneness of God, the name of Jesus Christ, the repentance that we experience, water baptism in that lovely name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost is what all brought it together for us. Amen. If you can't go over and shake somebody's hand and hug their neck and tell them genuinely that you love them, you need to be refilled with the Holy Ghost. If you can't love somebody as Christ loves them, the only reason is because you're not full of the Holy Ghost. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts only by the Holy Ghost. Well, I hope I'm making sense up here tonight. See, we can get to the place, and all of us have been there. We've been in the church long enough to know that we can generally get by with just looks. I'm not talking about paying for your meal at the restaurant. I'm just talking about we can look Pentecostal. We can dress Pentecostal. We can even talk the jargon of Pentecostalism. We can say the cliches and not even have a spiritual mind, but be just given over to the carnal things of this world. You say that's impossible? Oh, no. We got folks that are singing songs, that are messing around with women in the streets and messing around with young ladies. We've got preachers messing around and getting up there and having the audacity to say that we shouldn't commit adultery and shouldn't get involved with fornication. How can people of God get to that place? I'll tell you, they stop staying full of the Holy Ghost. This may not be for you today, but friend, this is something you need to put in your practice. You need to make it a mental note. I cannot make it by works. I cannot make it by my ingenuity. I cannot make it because I was born in this. I cannot make it because that which is born of the flesh, it's always going to be flesh. But oh, those people full of the Holy Ghost. Oh, what they can do when God gets to moving in their life and directing them and helping them to reach the souls that otherwise we can never reach. We talk about wanting to see people healed and raised from the dead and blind eyes. None of us are able to do that. God doesn't do that simply because we've earned it. No, none of us can earn anything from God. But when you're full of the Holy Ghost, you have the ability, not by your might, not by your power, but by His Spirit, to discern the needs and the opportunities that God opens to us. And it is up to us to be sensitive enough to know when to speak the right word, when to reach out and touch that person, when to minister to that person. We cannot even teach a Bible study adequately enough without the power of the Holy Ghost in our life. We all know we can go through the motions, but oh, what little bit of the Holy Ghost can do in just a few moments, we can spend a lifetime trying to do it in our flesh. It's easy to get caught up in what your neighbor's doing. It's time for us to become leaders. We'll step out regardless of what our neighbor's doing. We'll pray regardless if our neighbor's praying. We'll worship God regardless of our neighbor, what they're doing. Amen. We've got to step out in the Holy Ghost and say, Lord, I am an individual member of this body, and I've got to be a living organism to allow the body to adequately minister to the needs that are in this community. Use me, God. God says, stay full of the Holy Ghost, and you won't have any problems. I'll use you at any given moment. Somebody comes up to you and starts talking about what gifts they have and all of these things. Just tell them the most important gift is to stay full of the Holy Ghost. All of the gifts that God has to give mankind comes from that one gift, the power of the Holy Ghost. I've had them tell me they have oil dripping from their hands and that the anointing of God is in their life because God has given them a gift. Let me tell you, friend, none of us can become so spiritual that God has made some little corner in the market for us as individuals. He deals with the whole body, and he distributes his goods according to his will, and that it would profit the whole body, not just for our own aggrandizement or our own pride or to make ourselves of anything, because literally we're nothing. It's all in him. It is not of him that runneth or of him that says, oh, look at me, but it is of God that shows the mercy. We cannot say anything. There is no boasting. The only worship, the only praise, the only glory. It all goes to him because all of us were just a bunch of low-down scumbag sinners. But thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his blood. Thank God for his spirit that has given us the ability to become conscious of his will and to desire the things of God. Lead me to the deep things of God, I pray, through the power of the Holy Ghost. We have not followed cunning devised fables. Amen. When it was revealed to us about the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he's coming. And he's coming back for a people that have made themselves ready. Goes back to what I said. The natural man does not have the ability to be spiritual. It's the inner man that has to be alive by the power of the Holy Ghost. And the Lord is coming back for a people who have made themselves ready. You got to make yourself read your Bible. You got to make yourself pray. You got to make yourself fast. You got to make yourself available. Why? Because I want to be used of God. And more than that, I want to be caught up together with the dead in Christ. I want to be one of those who are alive and remaining. I may not know when he's coming. I may not know how he's going to do it. But friend, I'm going to be there when he does. And the only hope I have in being there when he does is to stay full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. See, we got these goofballs that trying to figure out when Jesus is coming back. Friend, if you're preaching here, don't build your ministry on prophecy. Prophecy is speculation until you know it's for sure come to pass. If prophecy was so stable, then those Jews who had studied the law of Moses and the prophets and the psalmists would have never misidentified Jesus Christ, because there were more prophecies about him than anybody else. This does not mean that we should not be interested. But for us to base our whole existence and our salvation on prophecy, we could make a tragic error. Just because something happens in the Middle East, it doesn't mean we all get frantic and freaked out. It means perhaps we just need to get full of the Holy Ghost so that we can be ready if it is something that God is doing. We got people that have knee-jerk reactions to every little current event that comes along. But the Holy Ghost is able to make you established. That way you would not be moved by every wind of doctrine that passes by. The Holy Ghost enables you to study the Word of God, that you may be the person, the individual, the vessel of honor, the minister, or whoever that God can use you to prepare not only yourself, but those that hear you. Amen. You see, Jesus is coming back. He really is. And we have got to do something. I don't know how old you are, brother, but we're not going to live in this body for very long. Don't be afraid. I'm not trying to tell you something about the future. But 50 years of my life has gone by pretty fast. And if that long has already passed me up, 25 years is going to be a whole, seem like a whole lot shorter. And if you're in this place and you're not right with God, what in the world are you waiting on? If you're fiddling around and fumbling around, I don't know why anybody would reject peace. I don't know why anybody would reject joy. I don't know why anybody would reject righteousness, because all of that is wrapped up in the power of the Holy Ghost. I love joy. I love peace. And I love to do what's right. And the only thing that gives me the ability is the power of the Holy Ghost. And that's the kind of people that Jesus is coming back for when he splits the eastern sky. I want us all to stand. I've been rambling up here long enough. How old are you, 40? Our chances of reaching 100 are pretty slim. You know, it's amazing to me, Brother Sutton, how saints of God freak out when they hear a doctor say, you don't have much time to live. That's old news for you. What did you say?
I said, none of us have long to live.
That's right. But I have had people come and pray, saints of God that have been living for the Lord for longer than I've been alive. And they come up here and they're crying, and, oh, God, heal me, because they don't want to die. Folks, that's what we're living for. Ever stop, think about that? That's why I'm living the way I'm living. So that I'll be ready when I do die. And you know what? The Lord may tarry another 1,000 years. That just means I'm going to be one of the first in the rapture. And I don't want to blow it. I spent 2.5 weeks going to the altar. You know what? You're not going to have that long to get ready for the rapture of the church. It's not going to be coming to the altar and say, well, I missed it tonight. I might be able to catch it next. No. It's going to happen. It's over. And I wonder how many here are not really sure you're really full of the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you how you can tell. It's how you feel in your soul about the coming of the Lord. If you're afraid of that day, if you're afraid of dying, you just need an infilling or a refilling. I remember. Anybody feel like coming to the altar? Come on up here. I remember one time I was in a church in Houston that was pastored by O.W. Williams. I wasn't in a church, but man, that guy preached about the end time, and he scared me to death. Literally. I'd run to the altar. I was about 10 years old. I ran down to the altar. I did not want these beast things stinging me and me hurting for 6 months. Huh? But that's coming. You know how I know? Because I received the Holy Ghost. By the power of the Holy Ghost, that fulfilled, that just confirmed everything that God has ever promised. Everything God said was coming, what's going to happen, it's going to happen. Now, I recall him talking about how the moon was going to be turned or look as if it was blood red. Just like it had blood in it. It just turned to blood. Well, I was not living for God until I was almost 21. I didn't know anything about this lifestyle. I just happened to visit and got scared to death. And thank God I did. Every time I saw the moon low in the horizon, anybody know what color it usually is? It's red. And you know what I'd say? I'm not ready, Lord. Please don't come. I am not ready. But the night I received the gift of the Holy Ghost, on the way home, back to that 52-mile track, back to my house, I stopped at a stop sign, and it came back to my mind about how I used to be freaked out about that red moon. And I rolled down my window at that stop sign. And if anybody was around, they said, there goes either a drunk man or a lunatic. Quite frankly, lunatic. Anyway. I rolled down my window and I stuck my head out and I hollered to the top of my voice, you can come anytime you're ready. Because now I'm ready. Oh, I don't know when he's coming. I don't know how he's going to do it. But you can be assured of this. I'm going to stay ready. I'm going to stay where he wants me to be because I don't want to miss that day. If you're here tonight and you haven't got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I hope you get scared to death. Because it'll be the greatest thing that happened to you. So you can repent of those no good sins, get baptized in the lovely name that's above every name. The sweetest name that's sweeter than any name. The lovely name of Jesus. And somebody will lay their hands on you or pray for you and you'll begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives you the utterance. Because you're going to have to do just like Peter told those people on the day of Pentecost. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. And there's a whole lot of stuff going on out there you got to save yourself from. And the only hope you have is in the power of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus, for the power of the Holy Ghost. Why don't we raise our hands right now and say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with the Holy Ghost and fire. Oh God, I don't want to be just barely filled. I want it to be running over because I want to make myself ready for the coming of the Lord. I want to make myself ready to be used of God, to win a soul, to do something miraculous for the glory of Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost. Let me hear from God as I speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gives me the utterance. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Bible says you that are strong in the Spirit, help those that are infirm, those that are weak, pray with them, because we're all laborers together.
somebody by you. Pray for somebody right now. Let that heavenly language flow. Let that well of living water spring up and flow forth. Somebody here that needs to receive the Holy Ghost this evening. Let that Holy Ghost flow through your vessel.